Welcome to the Exec MBA Podcast. I'm your host, Brett Twitty, and you are listening to a new episode. So this episode of the podcast is all about the Executive MBA Venture Capital Club. In this conversation, you're going to hear from two people, Barry Hartsburg, a recent graduate in our Executive MBA class of 2021, as well as Greg Benante, a current student in our Executive MBA class of 2022. Barry is the former president of the Venture Capital Club. Greg is the current president of the club, and we connected with them via Zoom during the summer months to talk a little bit more about the club's plans for the current year, and so much more. Of course, as always here on the podcast, we talk with Barry and Greg about their respective stories, how they decided to pursue an MBA, what led them to Darden, and so much more. I think you're really going to enjoy this conversation. So without further ado, here's my interview with Barry Hartsburg and Greg Benante. Greg, Barry, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Brett.
All right. Well, Barry, I should say welcome back to the podcast. Thanks for coming back on and then talking a little bit more about, we're going to talk about one of our official student organizations here, the Venture Capital Club and the Executive MBA program. For listeners of the podcast, hopefully by now they know that we do have a number of student organizations, and we're going to talk about one of them here today. But before we get there, I want to talk about you and your backgrounds and stories. But first and foremost, Greg, how are you doing? I want to check in here.
Yeah, doing well. And thanks again for having us, Brett. This is exciting as a connoisseur of this podcast. It's exciting to be here. Doing well. As I mentioned before we got started here, my wife and I had our baby girl 2 weeks ago. So very exciting time on the home front. It's, perfect timing as the world is opening back up from COVID. So we're excited about that. And even though we have an exam period coming up here, that's okay. We'll knock it out and move on to the next. But overall, summer starting, we're doing really well.
Life does continue while people are in this program. So new additions to families, job changes, moves, all kinds of things.
Absolutely.
And Barry, how are you doing?
Yeah, great. Thanks again, Brett. And a little bit opposite of Greg. I just graduated, about a week and a half ago. And so a lot of extra free time, spending time with my family and binging on Netflix. And actually just started a new job roughly a month ago. So right after LR2, I had left my previous job of 7 years and started up with a great role in the education technology world.
All right. So, well, lots of exciting things happening for both of you. So happy to hear that. So let's talk a little bit more about your background, what you did before coming to Darden, and how you decided to pursue an MBA. Barry, I'll come to you first with this question. Tell us a little bit more about your story and how you made this decision.
Yeah, absolutely. So for me, an MBA was always in the plan. The timing was just off a little bit. I had started up my own company when I was 24 and didn't really know what I was doing and didn't know if that would last for a year or 10 years. And we ended up having a nice little ride. And so that took me past the traditional years of getting a full-time MBA. And once I left that role and joined a great small company in the nonprofit world, I had decided it was the right time to go back and figure out what my options were. And Darden was just an incredible program with incredible folks. And everybody that I met who had either went through the executive program or the full-time program, I've had just the most amount of respect for. And so Darden for me was at the top of my list. And I really enjoyed meeting Brett and everyone else along the way. And so I finally pulled the trigger and here we are.
That's right. Now you are on the podcast, which circle comes complete. I always enjoy having people come on who listen to the podcast. Both of you, I think, listen to the podcast as you were doing your research, learning about the program. Greg, how about you? Had you thought about an MBA for a while?
Yeah, I did, Brett. I was a history major at UVA, so I'm one of the few double who's in the program, which is always very exciting. I think you'll notice that there's a lot of folks who really enjoy their UVA undergrad experience and want to come back for another round. So I'm very much in that camp. I initially thought I wanted to go to law school. And so I found out what being a lawyer actually entailed on the day to day and realized that was not for me. So I actually spent the last 10 years in technology, in various business development and sales roles. So I really, really like tech and business. And I think I did realize around the time where folks usually go to full-time program that an MBA would be a really good move for me. But like for many people in the program today, the full-time or the executive program, you know, the opportunity cost of doing, taking 2 years off at 26 just wasn't, the math just didn't work out for me. So coming a few years later has been a fantastic experience and just, right time, right opportunity. And I think we'll talk about this more, but there's quite a range now in the executive program. We have all stars who are 26 who could easily be doing the program full time if they wanted to, but just choose not to because they really like their jobs or can continue their careers. We have amazing folks in their 40s who are, about to be chief medical officers at huge health systems who just want this degree to take them to the next level. So it's really awesome to be in that community. And I think when it came to picking a program, I was looking at four very, very hard. And after doing my research, Darden, and I think quickly became my number one choice. And so it was really great to get in and it's been a great experience.
Well, I appreciate your mentioning the work experience range in your class, because that's something we talk with prospective students about a lot, because people will look at the average and it's oftentimes something like 11, 12 years. And they'll say, well, I don't have 11 years of work experience. I'm maybe 6 years in my career. Can I do this program? And, or the maybe even more common statement is, I'm not an executive. Can I do an executive MBA? And a lot of what we spend time with people talking about as admissions officers is, well, understand, we have a preferred work experience minimum of 5 years. Executive really just kind of means a format here. It means a type of schedule. Doesn't necessarily mean that the target audience, although we do have some students who are in senior leadership roles, would probably think of themselves as executives. But it's such a diverse class from a work experience standpoint. You go all the way from 4 or 5 years to 25 plus years. I'm thinking about your class, Greg. I think most senior member of the class has almost 30 years of work experience. So a lot of great diversity. So so let's talk a little bit more about, the adjustment to Darden. You're very much in your first year. You're approaching your second year, Greg. It's on the horizon. I think you're just wrapping up quarter five now, if I'm doing the math right. So you're almost a second year student. What was this past year like?
Yeah, on the cusp of being a second year student, which is very exciting. The year was great. It was very, very hard in terms of, we're working diligently to get through these courses. It's a lot of material. I think you learn in doing your research on Darden that they're going to push you, but I think that's the type of people who want to learn and get better and they really want to upskill are the folks that get attracted to this program. So, we started this past August with Leadership Residency 1, LR1. Our team had to do it remotely because of COVID. We all understood that. It was the right decision for a lot of different reasons. But, I'm really excited for the class of 23, since as we are hopefully coming out of this this pandemic, that they'll be able to get to do a lot more in person, as it does make a huge difference. But I will say, talking to my cohort, we're all kind of shocked at how close we've gotten, considering how most of our interactions have been remote over the last year. Darden has done a really fantastic job of the community building. So looking back, since August, I've learned a lot, I've upskilled. I really wanted to come to this program to upskill my quantitative skills. So I feel like I've gotten a lot better in that respect. And, it's amazing how much you can learn when you really focus for a short period of time.
One of the things that we oftentimes talk about is this is an intentional choice for students. I mean, nobody sort of like stumbles into an executive MBA. You spend a lot of time thinking about this too. And I think that affects people's investment in it, right? So you've thought about it, you've had a lot of conversations and kind of arrived at this decision. Barry, you're now, after graduation, you sort of have to think back on your first year, second year. Hearing all the things that Greg's talking about, I'm sure that was consistent with your experience. It's challenging, a lot of work. You worked really hard. Did it get easier over the course of the program? Did you get better as a student?
Yeah, definitely. It definitely got a little bit easier. And we talked the other day, Brett, about time management and the importance of learning how to manage your own time against school, you know, things going on at school, things going on at home, things going on at work. But what I found interestingly to be the biggest challenge was learning how to be a student all over again. I graduated undergrad in 2005, so quite some time ago. And while I always thought I was a decent student, I was a terrible test taker. And starting with the executive assessment all the way through, you know, how many rounds of finals did we take? You have to relearn some of the skills that, you know, got you through a previous era of your life. And I'd say that was one of the bigger challenges. But as you go through, and as Greg mentioned, and Brett, as you just asked, it does get a little bit easier. You learn some of the tricks, you learn how to study, you learn how to take advantage of having one or more groups of people that you can lean on. We at Darden have this thing called a learning team that we're set up with, and most learning teams stick through some kind of form or grow, or, you know, that some folks even have two or three different learning teams. And I found that was one of the biggest and most important factors of making it through this program, not just from an academic standpoint, but also from, you know, a mental standpoint. When things are tough at work, or, you know, when you don't think you're going to be able to get by in a given quarter, your team or teams will be there to keep you going. And so it definitely got easier. We learned how to manage our time. We learned how to manage other important things going on in our lives. And I guess the last thing I'll say on this is the general support that Darden professors and Darden staff provide is second to none. I mean, we all know that Darden faculty is rated number one year over year over year. And I will attest to that. They are the best in class. But in addition to the faculty, the staff are just amazing. There's so much support. There's so much help. There's so much guidance. And very, very happy to be involved with that group of people.
Yeah, I appreciate the shout out for the staff, because behind all of this, and certainly while weekend residencies and leadership residencies, and of course, distance learning and global residencies, all this is happening because of course, the faculty, but a lot of hard work by the program team, who are just incredible people. And they are around, they're available, they're accessible, they're passionate about what they do, love supporting and working with these students. So I appreciate the shout out. I feel fortunate to work with that group. They are professionals, and they are very good at what they do. And I also really appreciated your point, Barry, around learning to be a student again. I think we always flag that as maybe one of the bigger adjustments for students as they get started here, having homework again, something that is not directly related to your day-to-day job, learning about new things, using those muscles. One of the reasons why we make academic prep materials available prior to the start of school is, hey, start stretching now, using those muscles again. So appreciate both of those points. So let's talk about the occasion for this conversation. So the Venture Capital Club, as I mentioned at the outset, one of our newer executive MBA student organizations. And Barry, I believe you were involved in helping found the club. So tell us a little bit more the origin story.
Yeah, so I'll kind of address that in two ways. So first, the personal interest. Maybe 3 or 4 years ago, I had realized that some of the more traditional types of investing were not as interesting to me as I know are to other folks. So I had friends investing in real estate, and a friend brought me into a potential deal, and I said, I did a couple hours of research, and I got out of it, and I said, you know what? This is not for me. This is not as exciting. Coming from a technology background, just like Greg, and also having worked in a startup for 7 years, I realized some of the more traditional types of investing just didn't do it for me. And so I had dabbled a little bit with angel investing, very small amounts through AngelList, and a connection to someone who had started up a cybersecurity company in the DC area. And I had made just a couple of relatively small angel investments, and it piqued my interest. And I said, you know what? Now that I'm at Darden, this is a perfect opportunity to dig in and take advantage of all the resources and see who else may be as interested as I am in angel investing and in venture capital. And over the first couple of quarters of Darden, I had just casually brought this topic up to my fellow classmates, and I realized there is a tremendous interest in venture capital, whether it's people wanting to learn about venture capital or work in venture capital, or those who were more on the entrepreneurial side and wanted to just understand how it works on the other side of the coin. And so we pulled together a group of people and we said, hey, we're going to do this thing. It kind of creates something from nothing. And the idea was, let's create a group for two purposes. One, education. Let's get some experts in. Let's get some folks in the Darden ecosystem. Let's get some VCs in and just talk to us about all the things that they do, a day in the life, tips and best practices. And just really teach us some of the ABCs of venture capital. And then the other thing that we wanted to do, which we really started, but didn't really execute well or finish, was rolling up our sleeves and actually doing due diligence on a couple of early stage startups. And we can talk about that a little bit later. But between those two things, we had a vision of, hey, if you are interested in venture capital, whether you want to work there or, you know, be on the other side and start to raise funds, this is a group and this is an organization that can help you along your way. And so we got that going. We had a pretty good amount of interest from my class. And then we opened it up a couple months later after we got things rolling. We opened it up to Greg's class as well, so the 21s and the 22s. And we had a really great interest from early on.
I appreciate that. And it's, you're never quite sure when people sort of coalesce around this kind of maybe career interest or professional interest. Oftentimes there's a sort of a pool of people in a class. So, you know, say for example, class of 2021, that's really passionate about it, but will the next class share that passion and interest in the same numbers? So Greg, it's exciting to hear that there was a significant interest from the class of 2022 as well. What attracted you to the club?
Yeah, great question. And, you know, full credit to Barry and the leadership team that he had put together. I was actually shocked to find out that the club was less than a year old when I started engaging with it. They did such an amazing job. So personally, I am really interested. I'm taking a shot at getting a job in venture, and if it doesn't work out in the near term, it's something that I will continue to pursue in the long term. So I just really personally enjoy being around the entrepreneurial environment. I really love technology. I love early stage company building. I just love being around the excitement and kind of the frenetic energy of starting new ventures as opposed to being a consultant. Darden is an amazing school for consultants, and I have tons of my friends who are going to do very well in that path of life. And you need to be incredibly smart as a whip to do that job. But I took an assessment at the beginning of the program actually, and I think I had a 7% match with consulting and like a 98% with venture capital. So maybe that was, you know, that was a pretty solid assessment. But I think as Barry, and I think you alluded to a second ago, Brett, is, you know, there's the idea of following your passions can get knocked sometimes, because I think we associate passions with things outside of the business world, like soccer or fishing or what have you. But, you know, I really think about it as following your interests. And so when I do kind of an energy audit of any given day of what am I doing and what I get excited about, I really enjoy listening to podcasts about technology and business and venture. I really enjoy reading blogs and books, and I follow finance Twitter. So, you know, to me, it's just kind of the obvious of like, this is what I'm really interested in. And so I want to surround myself with the people in the community who also are. And, you know, to answer your question directly, there was a lot of interest across the class, and not just folks who are kind of in tech and business. think one thing that's unique about our class, I'm not sure how, you know, the 23s and future classes will break down, but we have, I think, about a dozen doctors in our class who kind of all are interested in kind of getting to the business of healthcare. We have a dozen or so folks who are either in the military now or who have recently transferred out, and they are interested in, you know, defense venture capital. So what I have noticed as I've engaged with more and more of the class is that there's just a widespread interest in learning how the company building process, the capital allocation process for early stage companies works. And there's a huge interest in folks kind of across the span. So whether it's trying to get a job at a startup, whether it's trying to get a job at a venture capital firm, whether it is trying to be an angel investor as well. So a unique thing about the executive program is, you know, we do have folks, even though there are, you know, there's a good chunk of our class that is, you know, in their mid to late 20s. There's a number of folks who are in their mid to late 30s and early 40s who have been working for a while and have some extra money and they're interested in angel investing. So I think what's really cool about this club is we can address kind of that core interest in venture capital and company building and investing in a number of unique ways, so that everything, you know, I think a very large swath of the cohort can get a lot of value out of this club.
Yeah, one of the things that's been exciting about the Executive MBA program is we've grown in recent years. So moving to Roslyn, adding another section now, obviously the program's based in Roslyn, so in the past couple of years, part of the story of the program, and you know, have roughly 280 or so Executive MBA students, both classes combined. When you get to that kind of mass, all of a sudden, there you have clubs and organizations, you have student leadership, you have this kind of flowering of extracurricular activities because people are able to make these kind of connections around interests. And it's not just maybe 6 or 10 people, it becomes 30 or 40 people. And you have really kind of a lot of energy too. I think that's one of the cool things about the Executive MBA program is that people who choose Darden are choosing it because it's participatory. You're going to be engaged inside the classroom, but also outside the classroom. You have this sort of full holistic experience. So Barry, talk to us a little bit about, you know, year one. You know, Greg's already paid a tremendous compliment to you and the leadership team and all that you managed to do early on in the program, early on in the club's life and existence. I mean, what did that first year look like for y'all in terms of programming and activities?
Yeah, it really was a team effort. You know, we had a leadership team. We had so much interest. I think we had to expand the leadership roles from 5 to something like 7 or 8. So we had a whole bunch of really interested people who wanted to take part. And I won't go through all the leadership positions, but we had some individuals that were focused on communicating with startups and with alumni and with other professionals in the industry. And so we early on, we tried to create a curriculum. I mean, I don't know how well it actually worked out, but we tried to say, okay, if you're trying to learn about venture capital, what are all the things that you'd be interested in learning about? So we started out with a VC 101 type event where we brought in a Darden alum who I think is based out, I'm not sure if he's in the West Coast or just more West, but he's a relatively young Darden alumni. And then we brought in two individuals from Cav Angels, one of the founders, Jim Chang, and then another individual that's also running the Cav Angels group right now. And, you know, their organization's fantastic because they focus. Cav Angels is UVA's angel investor network. And it has a whole bunch of folks affiliated with UVA who are interested in doing smaller or larger angel investments. And so the folks that came in, they spoke to us about not just the opportunities with Cav Angels to learn and to be educated, but also, you know, some of the key information and some of the basics around angel investing and VC. And they were just a wealth of information. And then as we went on, we said, okay, well, what else could we be interested in? Is it, you know, legal aspects? Is it contracts? Is it, you know, negotiations? Is it, you know, different rounds? And so we tried to bring in individuals that could cover some of those topics. And one of the key things that that I thought was really great that was available to all of our club members, actually to all students, was the VC boot camp. And frankly, I'm not sure if it was available to everyone because of the pandemic. But because of the pandemic, it was virtual. And typically, I think it's held in Roslyn for a couple of days, and they cap the number of individuals that can join. But the VC boot camp covers, it's like 3 days, nine different sessions covering, you know, a total of like 1 to 2 hours each. And they cover a lot of the basics as well. So we ensured that all those recordings were available to everyone. And we tried to supplement those sessions as well. So it was fantastic. We had a couple of VCs that were very close to some of the founders of Facebook. We had VCs that were different parts of the country. So we got great perspectives from different venture capital and angel investors that we really wouldn't have gotten outside of this club.
The VC boot camp has come up on the podcast before, and you're right, it is traditionally in person. But as we talked with folks from the Batten Institute, the shift to online virtual delivery for this content, I think it accrued to executive MBA students' benefit, because obviously some people are based in the DC area. Not everybody's based in the DC area. People's schedules, availability being what they are, not everybody could perhaps come in to Roslyn and participate in person, but that we've always had executive MBA participation in that event. And hopefully that will continue. So Greg, you're the new president of the VC club, leading the charge here. What are your goals for the coming year? What are you thinking about?
Yeah, great question, Brett. Well, I'll just go ahead and start with where Barry left off. So a large goal of mine, but that's not unique to the VC club specifically, is to ensure that the exec program has access to everything that the full-time students have. So I think if we look at silver linings of COVID, because everything went virtual or Zoom, there was no reason to not have exec students. And I don't think there was ever an intention to keep them away. It's just that obviously a lot of events historically have been in person in Charlottesville on a Tuesday at 11 o'clock when most of us are at work, right? So hopefully going forward, they'll be able to continue to do those events live in person, but have a Zoom component as well. So, and I have actually personally spoken to, and we are working very closely with our counterparts who lead, you know, venture capital and entrepreneurship club in the full-time program to bring us together more to ensure that anytime we're doing events that could be beneficial to kind of everybody who's interested in the entrepreneurship or venture capital world, that we're all involved. So at the end of the day, we're all one Darden, even though we're executive. I think we're working hard to, you know, ensure that the most value is available to all students. To elaborate on your question, we absolutely are continuing kind of with that core idea of education first. So we're going to continue to build a strong network within DC, the Mid-Atlantic, and eventually the West Coast as well. For anybody who's kind of associated with the University of Virginia, it doesn't just have to be Darden, but we really want to work hard to establish strong connections with first, you know, DC area, but again, to continue that so that as jobs come up, as educational opportunities come up, you know, either officially or unofficially, Darden will, be kind of at the top of the mind of a lot of the folks that we're trying to connect with, the professional VCs and founders who have UVA connections. There's a lot of exciting stuff going on that respect. So really excited about that. We're trying to help folks get jobs in different ways. Again, both in VC and in technology. We also have some really exciting events coming up. So one with Cav Angels. So we are looking to today, the, you know, Cav Angels is a network of UVA affiliated professionals who want to invest in companies that kind of have some kind of UVA connection. And the pipeline is robust right now. of entrepreneurs who are trying to get funding. So we foresee the opportunity to leverage that relationship more so that we can actually get, you know, real-time diligence practice. So if you know, we could put together a team of five people who can run diligence on a company, really get that experience of what is it actually like to be on a VC team. I think that's a very invaluable exercise that, you know, just is much more powerful to do outside of the classroom. So we're looking to do more stuff like that. We're going to actually have a big kickoff event in September with Cav Angels. That's the idea, is to bring together the Darden and UVA investing and entrepreneurial and founding community at Sam's Family Grounds. So huge part of this is networking as well. Like, we want to get you in front of the people that you want to meet so that you can continue to develop that network and really get the most out of your time at Darden. And another event that we're going to do that's really exciting. I know you had Will Payne on a couple episodes ago, who is my counterpart leading our entrepreneurial club. We are going to do a crossover event with Mark Warner, Senator from Virginia, hopefully. If you don't know, Mark, the Senator Warner was a very successful entrepreneur and also led Columbia Capital, a venture capital firm in Alexandria, Virginia, for a number of years before he went into the political arena. So really exciting that there are a lot of crossovers with our clubs for vets, for entrepreneurship, for a number of other clubs. So I think the strong bonds that we have formed, mostly virtually here in this first year, Brett will come to fruition in the form of a lot of really exciting events, networking capabilities, and upskilling job opportunities as well. So we are focused on making the most out of year two for our class and for getting, pulling the new class in as early as possible. I think there's going to be a job. I believe there's going to be a club fair early on, and we're excited for the 23s to get involved and let us know how we can help you. Because at the end of the day, UVA is really big on student self-governance. That's another reason I really wanted to come back to Darden after doing undergrad. And we are going to take what Barry handed us and shape it to match the needs of our class. And then we're going to pass this club on to the next group to do the same.
You know, Brett, real quick, it's amazing. I haven't been involved in the club for a month and a half since we handed the reins over to Greg and his team. But it's amazing to see how much progress they've made in such a short amount of time. And I'm thinking, one of the unintended but very welcomed consequences of this club is the networking that Greg mentioned. First, the networking with the full-time or residential MBAs. I've actually built up a couple of friendships with folks that are in Charlottesville. And when we were there for LR2, I stopped by and, said hello and hung out with a few of the folks that I had met along the way. But then also in the just local investing community and specifically with Cav Angels, these are folks that have been doing this for years and have a wealth of information and are very good and educated, and just giving club members access to Cav Angels and the ability to maybe do some due diligence or sit alongside of these folks doing these types of things is really priceless.
Yeah, make no small plans. All of the great things that you share, it's super exciting. And for people who are just kind of interested in hearing more about all of this, all these opportunities, I recommend our other admissions podcast. It's kind of residential, full-time MBA focused. It's called Experience Darden. We've had the Entrepreneurship and Venture Capital Club on that podcast. We've had a bunch of people from the Bad Institute on both of these podcasts. And you'll hear things about Cav Angels. You'll hear things about the UVA Seed Fund, the entrepreneurial community that just generally exists in and around Darden, Charlottesville. Great to hear that y'all are building those connections, because I think that's always the hope. It is one Darden that, an executive MBA students, of course, at some physical remove, not actually in Charlottesville typically, certainly as part of the program design, but not in the same way that our residential students are. And so it's great to hear that y'all are still able to get to know your counterparts in the residential program. So same last question that we ask of all of our guests here. Wonder if you have a piece of advice that you might share for our listeners as they think about taking this next step and in their career. Barry, what would you share?
Yeah, I would say at the end of the day, I came to one big realization, and that's like all things in life, you get out what you put in. And, you know, there's no question, this is not an easy program. It's a lot of work. The material is not necessarily always intuitive, but it's very fulfilling. And if you put the legwork into it, if you put the work into understanding, the materials, if you put the work into doing these extracurriculars, like having a leadership role in one of these clubs offered at the Dart and EMBA, it really pays off in so many different ways. And so I would urge and encourage everyone to, you know, realize, you know, you only have 21 months in this program. You've got great access. You've got an incredible network of people as your classmates and an incredible network of faculty. Take advantage of it. It's been an incredible journey for me, and I would not have changed a single thing that I did.
I love that point. It actually echoes something that Yael said in a blog interview that we did with her, where she talked about Darden having this reflective quality. The more you put in, the more you get out. So that definitely resonates. Greg, piece of advice that you might share.
I will build on Barry's thunder. So I would say that know what you want, or you know, take the time in the beginning to learn what you want to get out of this program, and then be aggressive with going after it. And you don't have to wait until the second year to do it. You can start from day one. So Darden has extensive resources and networks that are completely open and available to you. But just like anything else, you know, in this world, you have to ask. You have to shoot an email and ask for time. I have done that, and there's been a couple instances where I've been super nervous about reaching out to kind of one of the more, you know, well-known professors that I might get shot down, or asking for resources that have historically only been available to full-time students. And everybody's been incredibly receptive, but if you don't ask, you don't get. I think another example outside of you know, the VC world that we've been talking about is we have some amazing students in our cohorts who are physicians, and they personally wanted to get more out of the program in terms of having, you know, classes taught for, you know, future CEOs or chief medical officers of hospital systems. And they banded together and they reached out to the faculty, and they put together a proposal. And I think there's going to be two new electives that are just brand new. They've have been created for this group. So, you know, if you don't see what you want, you know, ask for it and just work hard to get what you want out of this program. Don't let it pass you by.
I really like that point about, you know what you want and reach for it and go for it. We encourage people to, you know, ask all these deep questions as part of the application process. Hopefully you're doing a lot of reflecting and introspecting as you're making the decision to pursue this path, you're choosing Darden. And on the career front, I mean, there's a lot you can do before matriculation. I mean, we make a asynchronous course called CDY available. It's kind of focused on getting you to ask these questions about who you are, where you'd like to go. There's career kickoff meetings before you start the program. There's the professional advancement course in quarter one. So Greg, to your point, if you're ready to hit the ground running and you want to start engaging with these questions early, often, and you can absolutely do that.
Can I do a 1B, Brett, may I?
Oh, for sure.
Okay. Thank you. I will echo also something that Barry said earlier, is just you do have to really learn how to study again in an academic standard environment, rather. Excuse me. So there's a bunch of great books on the market about the science of learning. I actually read one of those that just talks really about how, especially when you're doing new material, if you've never done finance and accounting before, it's just a lot, you know. Stay on top of it. Do not let it go past you. Don't think you can cram for it. Create note cards early on. You know, keep kind of stacking that knowledge. And it does pay off, because I'm halfway through the course. We just did we are in operations and decision analysis 2, which is basically statistics and you know, data, really deep data stuff. And we are doing some really interesting data exercises that complement one another, but it's all based on stuff that's built up through the glass. So by having really smart study strategies, you'll be in a good position and you won't be pulling your hair out at exam period.
We will absolutely take a 1B piece of advice always here on the podcast. Well, Barry and Greg, thank you so much for taking time out of I'm sure, busy morning for you. It's always great to catch up with both of you. And thank you for all the work that you're doing on behalf of the Executive MBA community with the Venture Capital Club. It's incredible to hear all that you've accomplished in a short period of time.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thanks, Brett.
And that was my interview with Barry Hartsburg and Greg Benante in our podcast all about the Executive MBA Venture Capital Club. As always, if you have any comments, suggestions, requests, anything you'd like for us to cover here on the podcast, we're all ears. We can be reached at exec, that's E-X-E-C, MBA@darden.virginia.edu. Until next time, stay safe, be well, and thanks for listening.